Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, A Season of Fear, comes to you from Chicago and was written by Peter Berry.
At noon, the sun glared down with white-hot vehemence, and yet somehow there seemed to be a dimness upon the royal city of Jerusalem. There was nothing a man might put his finger on, but the sense of impending doom was heavy, and many squinted about, puzzled to find some reason for their hearts' uneasiness in the dust-laden light of the angered sun. Only the puzzled faces of their friends they saw, and the familiar landmarks of the city of their habitation. By night, anxiety, strange and nameless, hovered over the sun-baked walls like the drifted smoke of a forest fire. And the moon rose, scudding through the ominous depth of low-lying storm clouds, shedding a fitful light upon the towers and the cobblestones, and gleaming balefully through the casements of the palace on the little hill. It was then, as the first flash of summer lightning cast the city in livid silhouette against the sky, and thunder spoke in the distance.
Did you hear?
From the king's chamber. Then heaven succor him.
Our task to succor him in lieu of heaven. Make haste and keep thy blades free. Hello within. Hello, your majesties.
Who is it there?
Eliaba and the guard.
Aye. What will ye, captain?
Is aught amiss with the king?
Amiss, say you?
What? What's fought here?
Disturb you our rest in the dead of night?
Your pardons, majesties, but a fearful noise swept just now down the corridor.
A fearful noise?
Like the sound of a man screaming.
Thou and thy crew are daft, or else ye've looked too well upon the wine, Meliada.
Ye heard nothing?
Not. Now get ye from the door and leave us our repose.
Aye, my lady.
Sweet sleep betide, your majesty.
What was it, think you, frightened them so? What was it, think you?
Know you not.
I cried out in my sleep again.
As a man who sees the face of the devil.
Aye. While lied Jude Eliab and the men?
Where's the reason they should know? If the king have a nightmare, Sire, you shudder.
I put myself in mind of my dream.
Then put it from thy mind.
'Twas not the face of the devil I saw. 'Twas his. I saw him as though he were alive, sitting his charger, full armed. Think you to escape punishment for that you did me? He said. And I fell on my face before him. Despair, assassin. Thy retribution was born this noon beside a well in Hebron.
Beside a well in Hebron?
The words were as a tempest in my ears. Weeping, I gazed up to confess my guilt and lo, his eyes gazed down on me like twin accusing fires. 'Twas then I screamed.
Think not upon it.
Oh, how shall I not?
'Twas a false dream.
False?
Why?
Wherefore false?
Now then, my lord, take thought. Who could betray thee save thy good commander Joab, who'd suffer to have his tongue drawn forth before he'd speak against thee?
Aye, mayhap.
And apart from him, there's no man alive could speak.
You are more sure of that than I.
How so?
I feel in my heart that Nathan knows.
Nathan?
Aye.
By what earthly means could Nathan know?
I cannot tell you. Yet nonetheless, I feel his knowledge growing in him hour by hour.
It is your fancy.
It was not my fancy, what he said today.
What said he?
As he knelt before me in morning audience, I drew a deep sigh.
Aye.
And he looked up and said quietly, "What burdens thy heart so sorely?" Oh, I near flung myself upon him and poured out the loathsome truth.
Nay, nay, you'd not do that. You'd not so betray yourself.
I didn't do it.
The mercy of heaven be praised.
For love of thee, I didn't. And for love of our son.
Our baby.
Aye. And for the endless love of Israel, lest the truth fly forth and fall into evil hands, to be used like a sword against our nation.
Oh, wise were you.
Less wise than fearful. Fearful that the Philistine maidens might rejoice the shame a monstrous king has brought upon the land.
Nay, nay, not a monstrous king. Can you not say I was mad when I did it? My love went beyond my reason, and I was like a raging babe devoid of judgment.
Think you not I've tried? My soul is deaf to my words. I speak, and it turns from me, heedless.
Thy soul is cruel.
Say that it's righteous.
Nay, for even the most righteous of judges would hear you out.
The most righteous of judges? Aye. There's some truth in that.
Whatever be thy evil, a righteous judge, a merciful judge, would suffer you to plead before him.
A merciful judge. Heaven send me such a one to hearken, to forgive or to condemn, that I may live again or else perish utterly. I would welcome whatever punishment might bring an ending to this living death.
There is thunder amidst the heat.
Aye.
Think you relief will come?
If God be willing.
Can you not rest, my lord?
I can make a pretense at it. Good night.
Peace be upon thee.
Would that it were.
What meant he?
Who?
Urias.
Urias?
In the dream. What was he said?
Thy retribution was born this day, said he, beside a well in Hebron.
What meant that, sire?
I know not. I know not. I know little save the bitterness of my guilt. My guilt.
David, my king.
Bathsheba.
The dreadful night was still young, the moon still climbing behind the clouds that clouded the breathless heavens. Now, as it climbed, Zanoe, son of Anim, stood in the doorway of his inn a few hours' ride from Jerusalem, his brow wet with the intensity of the heat. He shook his head with wonder as the drops trickled down his cheeks. It was rarely warm in this inn of Zanoe's, for his father's father had built it in a grove of gnarled olive trees, beside a well in Hebron. The day had been a poor one for business. The raging heat had discouraged travelers from the road. But even so, Zenoe was not pleased at the sight of the man who came riding in, stiff and erect, across the courtyard. He did not like the overbright dark eyes, nor the brilliant white of the flashing smile. And the swift, brisk sound of the voice increased the sense of uneasiness that all day had haunted Zenoe.
The blessings of heaven visit thee, my host.
Peace unto thee, stranger.
If I may present myself, Abasak, a merchant of Sayor. Behold, I am a stranger no longer. How's you many guests here, my host?
A few. Why ask you?
Curiosity, brother. No more than that. How's you an ailing woman named Ozari?
Mayhap.
And she was bled this day by a healer brought hither from my city of Sayor?
Know you all this of an old creature who launders and tends the fires for me?
News travels on the locust wing in the land. There is talk throughout Hebron of the spectacle she made this noon.
The bleeding was ill done. She was raving with delirium.
How know you what she said was all raving?
I have forgot what she did say.
Let me refresh you. By report, she broke from her bed and flung herself onto the courtyard stones, wailing of a dark matter concerning the king, and of how she dared not die with the secret locked in her soul.
Was it not the fever spoke?
And the chance that it spoke the truth, I am come to talk with her. Here, a bag of silver coins. More profit than you'll see in a month of days.
So much of money.
Where do I find her, brother?
She lies in the chamber at the head of the stairs.
Israel's gratitude will outlast the stars.
But you must wait, Abasak.
Wait?
There was one who came before thee.
What?
He is with her now. A little after moonrise he came, and for a like bag of silver coins, I promised him an hour undisturbed.
I have laid my cause before thee, woman.
I am my lord?
Aye, and I conjure thee, in the name of thy love of all goodness, tell me the nature of this thing thou knowest.
Who is it ye be?
Thrice now have I answered this.
Forgiveness, noble lord. My wits are sore vexed.
I am Remen, the Berethite.
Oh, I.
Here to beseech you to tell me all you may know of the heartless beast called David.
He is heartless?
Vain he is, fierce and remorseless. Oh, hark you, hag.
He will not harm me.
Harm thee? Why, I have come to aid thee, pay thee. See, golden coins from Sidon. Behold, a princely price.
But scarce enough for a king's purchase, if I may say so.
What's this?
Such goods come high, my eager friend.
Who are you?
My name's called Abasak.
Aye. What seek you here?
I think thou knowest.
I was promised an hour along with her.
Thou'st had 2 minutes past. I do.
Thou liest. Innkeeper!
Thy time is sped now. Give another man a chance.
Take away thy hand.
And I do. It reaches for my steel.
Peace, my lord.
Thou hearest the woman. Now silence, curse thee.
So, this is the good mother Ozari. Forgive me, but I could not help but hear what this noble lord has said to you.
Nay.
I have a bad manner of opening doors softly, but this time it has served thee and my cause most handily.
What will you have of me?
The same as he would, but for the best of reasons.
Oh, my head is numb with aching.
Yet hear me out. I bring thee the world, Ozari.
The world?
A palace shall you have.
But when shall all this come?
Aye, whence?
For myself and my friends and brothers.
Where are men of such wealth?
I know naught of men of wealth. Men of blood are we, remnants of the army of Abner and followers of the house of Saul.
Saul?
Comrades who but live against the time that we seize the throne and commence a new and glorious day in Israel.
Heed not this man. Heed him not, Ozari.
I bade thee keep silent.
He seeks only after power.
Aye, power to seize a strangled nation from the grip of a tyrant. My purpose is nobler.
Mine is the noblest of purposes.
Name it, then.
The avenging of the dead. In the first months of his rule, this swine, this demon, ordered the deaths of my sweet young son.
Alas, poor man.
Wilt thou not tell me thy secret? Wilt thou not aid me to avenge the innocent slain?
How shall the slain compare to the future of a living nation?
Aid me, Ozari.
To which of us will ye speak?
I can speak to neither of you.
What says ye?
Jest ye with us?
Nay. I do but now put myself in mind. Shortly past noon, my daughter set forth for Jerusalem to seek his advice.
Whose advice?
Nathan's. The prophet Nathan.
Nathan's.
And I vowed to hold my peace till she returned.
In Baal's name, what has she told him?
Only what she knows.
What knows she?
That I fell in a swoon and cried out I knew some evil of the king.
Then must you entrust the truth to me before soldiers are sent to wring it from thee. What is this evil?
Nay, entrust it to me, woman.
Be gone.
Not while I live.
Speak. My cause is Israel's.
My sons were slaughtered.
And thou shalt follow them.
Put up thy knife.
Lena! Lena, spoke you to Nathan?
Aye.
What said he?
Without a word, he donned his cloak and rode out with me to Hebron. He waits upon the stairs.
Sweet mercy, bring him in to us.
Aye.
Leaving such a man to wait upon the stairs.
Be warned, Ozari. To tell him thy secret is to keep it forever locked in darkness.
Wherefore?
Know you not he's a king's man? If it be aught of discredit to his master, he'd see thee dead ere it should reach the light of day.
Aye, dead and thy tomb forgot.
Welcome, honored prophet.
God send his peace and blessing on this house. Is it Remon the Barathite?
Aye.
I knew not 'twas thy habit to visit the sick. And thee, brother, is thy name not Abasok?
Abasok be it.
Of the tribe of Benjamin.
Benjamin.
And a one-time lieutenant of the rebel Abner.
Of Captain Abner, my lord.
Knowest thou every face in Israel, Nathan?
Nay, Remon, every heart. May I see the woman alone?
As ye will. Please to follow me, my lord.
I will make my whereabouts known to thy daughter, good Ozari.
Aye.
And forget not what we've said to thee.
What have they said to thee?
That thou art a man of the king.
All good subjects are such, I think.
And that there's naught ye would not do to shield him.
Is there some reason you'd not have me shield him?
I'm told that he is heartless.
Heartless?
Remon hath said he doomed to death his sweet young son.
Remon hath said this?
Aye.
And of those sweet young sons, what hath he said?
Naught.
Not that they robbed the house of a sleeping friend and killed him in his bed? Not that they butchered him and bore his bleeding head like a prize to David in Jerusalem, hoping to be rewarded for their murder?
Nay, he said not this.
Then surely he hath not said that this friend of theirs was an enemy to David, and that a lesser and less righteous man might have rewarded them with gold instead of death?
Abasok says he is no righteous man. A tyrant, Abasok calls him.
Abasok. Know ye what Abasok is?
Nay.
He is an evil dreamer, a tyrant maker who'd overthrow our Lord anointed and set a puppet in his place to glance aside while irresponsible adventurers loot and sack this Israel, north and south. Such is his evil dream, and he calls David tyrant.
'Twas not the worst they called him.
Spare me, I know well what they said and better what they didn't. When a dark hour descends on a great man, let him beware the hovering birds of prey, the vulture and the cormorant, who wait to make high holiday of shouting loud his vices, drowning with their cries the good he's done. Abasok and Remon, One mad for power, the other for revenge. Eager to judge the hapless king who bore the holy ark from Caesar and builds e'en now the spacious temple of the Lord. What hast thou told him?
Not.
Good.
But thy knowledge dost weigh heavily upon me.
Then I am come to thy relief. Unburden thee, Osari.
One night, a little better than a year since, a soldier on his way back from Jerusalem to join the fight at Rabbath rested here till dawn.
Aye.
His name. I knew it, but I've lost it now.
It was not Urias.
Even so, verily it was. He was the husband, then, of her who's now the queen. How knew you his name?
Say on, good sister.
As I recall, he slept a while in his chamber, and then he rose and found his way to the common room to dine. 'Twas then I went up to his chamber to dust and place new linen on his couch. Thunder then, as it is thundering now. The wind blew wild. Upon a table lay his sword and helmet, and a roll of fine parchment fell to the floor, shattering the seal. I picked it up and glanced at it. Oh, would God I'd not.
Say on.
It was a message to Joab, the commander of Rabbath, ordering him to place the bearer in the forefront of the fight so that he'd surely perish. I read it twice before I saw. 'Twas signed with the king's name. I sealed it again with candle wax and fled and spoke not of it since to anyone till now. Where go you?
To the king at Jerusalem.
Wherefore?
To face him with his crime.
Surely he's here to do that.
I fear only evil.
Thy blood will be on my head. And to what end? Who could punish a king?
Two kings. Himself and God.
The dark of an early, thunderous dawning lay still across the city as Eliaba opened the door of the royal chamber, tiptoed across the marbled floor, and touched the sleeve of David as he lay sleeping beside his queen.
Aye, what will you?
Nathan is below. He has been to Hebron and back and demands to speak with thee.
Demands?
I would have fled the earliness of the hour, but there was so dire a look upon his face, I dared not cross him.
I will come. Said he anything of the nature of his business?
Aye, but I followed it not. He said it concerned a man of wealth and power who coveted a poor man's only and most precious possession. Dost understand this?
Aye, Eliaba, I understand.
David, where go you?
Sleep, beloved. A judge has come to court.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting H.D. Heyman, who is chairman of the Jewish Theological Seminary campaign for Chicago and past president of the B'nai Zion Synagogue, Chicago. Mr. Heyman.
How interesting it is. that one of the greatest men of the Bible, King David, is acknowledged to have committed a terrible sin. Paradoxically, had David been flawless, he would not command the stature as a tragic hero that he does for us today. Nor would his story be so rich in philosophic, psychological meaning. For out of the dramatic episode in which the prophet Nathan confronts the king with his guilt, saying, "Thou art the man," come two important meanings. Nathan stands for eternal truth as well as judgment. David, on the other hand, represents the authority of the absolute state, temporal power, and sovereign monarchy. Of the two, truth is the greater, and the state, however powerful, must always surrender to its final judgment. The second great meaning derives from the willingness, indeed the positive longing of King David for chastisement. For from this part of the story, we see the possibility and the value of repentance. Repentance, that beautiful concept that lies at the heart of Judaism. It was only with his spirit and peace of mind almost completely broken that David went willingly to meet his judge. But out of the agonizing sincerity of his guilt and the glory of his repentance came the development of his character. It is in this period that he wrote his most beautiful and moving psalm, which remains among the most eloquent poetry ever written. The experience of David is the experience of every man. Though our sins be not so enormous, still our repentance may be as sincere. And though the great political states of today are many times the size of David's kingdom, still, we must not be afraid to stand up as Nathan did and declare the truth.
Thank you, Mr. Heyman. Our Eternal Light drama today, A Season of Fear, was written by Peter Barry. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Ken Nordine, Arthur Peterson, Maurice Copeland, Sandra Gare, Harry Elders, Everett Clark, Fern Persons, and Norman Gottschalk. The music was written by Morris Mamorski and conducted by Bernard Berkowitz. This has been an NBC Radio Network production directed by Howard Keegan and came to you today from Chicago. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.